How you doing? I'm Maine.
This is Josh.
And we are the Grappling Rewind.
Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Today in the podcast, we're going to be talking about Metamoris 8, the Gordon Ryan versus Halleck Gracie event. We're also going to talk about Gordon Ryan moving into the Gi. We are also going to preview Muscle Farm Fight to Win Pro 56 in Los Angeles, as well as the Onnit Invitational and the Women's Tournament happening on December 2nd, the EBI Absolutes happening on December 3rd, Submission Underground 6 on December 3rd as well. We're also going to talk about the upcoming Kaisei Pro event on December 9th, as well as the IBJJF World Rankings and Team Points, as well as recap the latest tournament for sumo. We're going to be talking about Metamoris to start it off with. Metamoris, November 26th, it happened.
Jeez. Yeah, they experienced audio issues as soon as they started. It didn't start at
5 o'clock.
And I am one for punctuation. I'm late to everything.
You mean punctuality?
I'm also an idiot. Yes, punctuality, not punctuation, which I am fucking hypercritical over as well.
So we turned on the event. It started at 5:32, and it finished up after commercials and everything at 6:21 was when the broadcast ended. So it was 49 minutes. We paid $20 to watch four matches that was 49 minutes long.
$21.60 to be exact because of the service charge.
Yeah, and then we watched one of those matches was a blue belt and purple belt match. We watched a brown belt match, and then we watched a black belt match, followed by Gordon Ryan and Halleck Gracie. Actually, interesting enough, this card was supposed to have Jeff Glover and Travis Nwaza on it, and you said his name, Josh?
What's Travis Nwaza?
No, the other name.
Rehan Mutalib? Mutalib? Yeah, I don't know.
Supposed to be on there. Those
well, that was
matches
supposed
dropped
to be
out.
Against Edward Kim, but...
And Edward Kim is against this guy
Edmund.
Now.
See, those always throw me up. I knew a kid in school named Edmund, and I called him Edward all the time, and he did not appreciate that. So sorry, Edmund Kim.
He went against Skib Scrobe.
Sid Scrobe, who calls himself Sid Vicious. Yeah.
So
Sid Vicious as a person sucked. Johnny Rotten will tell you that he was a shitty person. So I don't know if you want to be called Sid Vicious or not.
He's referencing the Sex Pistols.
Obviously, I'm also being a giant asshole, which seems to be a trend in these podcasts.
So basically, the matches were over quick. It was sort of an AOJ show.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Guy was there. Guy?
Really? Guy?
G-U-I. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Guy, because his name is Guillermo. Guillerme.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Guy Mendes.
Guy.
He was there coaching, and it was really a showcase for the AOJ guys. They were out. They went to their competition fast and finished.
It was amusing. Tynan Dalpra, who, here comes a shout out, Rick Slomba, who trained and got his black belt at AOJ, originally started at our gym, told me about Tynan and a few other people, Jonathan Alves, Kanan Duarte, who we talked about last week, and I'll correct myself from something I said that was wrong last week, but that's later. Said Tynan was a monster. This was a blue versus purple belt match. Alfonso pulled guard, and Tynan said, okay, and started passing. And that was the name of the game, was Tynan just getting past. Alfonso would push back. I'm going to call him Alf, because I don't want to say Alfonso every time, and Alf is cool. Kept getting regarding and everything, and Tynan just kept climbing, and finished with a sweet, sweet armbar.
And pretty fast, too. I think that was probably the longest match, and it was...
Other than the Gordon versus Halleck match? Yeah, yeah, it was the longest match.
And we'll touch on exactly why that was as long as it was.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in just a little bit.
Next match.
The next match was Edmund Kim versus Sid Scrobe, or Scrob? Scrobe? I don't know. Again, we talked about this guy's name earlier. Sid pulled guard. So, you know, two of the AOJ guys got guard pulled on them. They didn't pull guard. Well, that didn't work out too good for anybody because Edmund was just on the move from the beginning. How long was that match? Like 2 minutes?
Really quick.
Super
match.
Fast. He got to the back and he choked him. Is that what happened?
I think
that's
what happened.
Yeah. Maine and I were discussing the matches and we were just so... just upset with what was going on because, again, we just dropped $21.60 on a card with four matches, a blue purple belt match, a brown belt match, a black belt match, two black belt matches technically. But we were just kind of angry. And I think it was last week where I was like, I'm not buying it. And I mean, this is part of the podcast where we review this stuff. I could have waited until, you know, all the Facebook videos showed up
in about 35 minutes.
Yeah. And just watch the match. But I said, no, I'm going to go through it. And they were using Kleng, which
is a little more secure, at least than secure. What they were using before, which is not secure at all. Just plain text.
Yes. And it has all of these old purchases that I looked through it for. It had the old worlds when Budo was doing it through Kleng and the old EBIs.
Also $20.
It was like $20-$25. But, you know, when you watch grappling, you end up spending money on things like that. And, you know, your significant others, if they don't train, yell at you saying, why are you watching two guys roll around in pajamas or partially naked? Hang out with me.
ADCC.
Yeah, there you go.
But it was just kind of interesting because we talked about...
We were talking about how quick
Eddie Bravo and Inch by Inch TV, and we watched Combat Jiu-Jitsu Worlds, was it 2 weeks ago? For $20. And that's, you know, that was a full four or six-hour event.
It was a lot of matches. I mean, you still had your ridiculous commercials that they throw in there, which are always amusing, especially like the Dasusara ones where Eddie Bravo apparently is a giant roided-out freak in that commercial, the little cartoon commercial. And you get to see all the Matrix-style 10th Planet commercial. And I like how they removed Worldwide because he still, you know, he thinks the Earth is flat.
So it was just kind of interesting. The full, paying a full price for an event that was less than an hour.
It was less, honestly, I think it was less than 30 minutes in total.
The match time, easily. I think the longest match was the Gordon. Let's just talk about the match now. Gordon Ryan versus Halleck.
Oh, hold on. Let's not skip the Danny Stolfi match versus Carlos Gomez. Danny was the only AOJ guy that got to pull guard, and he was quick on that. He wrapped the lapel around. It started to look like he was going sort of rubber guardish. Wrapped the lapel behind the head. Transition, pulled the arms. Boom, armbar. Maybe, what, a minute? It was fast.
It was fast.
So we banged through the entire card in 15 minutes. Because from the time it started until they decided to show us commercials, essentially.
Three matches. Was the all
was
all
four matches. Matches. It went from 5:32 to 5:47. So 15 minutes.
And then they showed us, I think, about 17 or 20 minutes of commercials.
You got
they
to watch the countdown videos, quote unquote, of Gordon and
Halleck in the forest.
Halleck, God.
Which is weird in itself.
I'm just glad they didn't show, like,
Gianagi
or his other rap video, whatever it was. Something terrible.
A new one. And then we got to the main event, which was Gordon Ryan versus Halleck Gracie. And
everybody knew what was happening. Like, everybody knew the outcome. Everybody had to know. Halleck Gracie, yeah, you're a black belt. Yeah, you're from the Gracie line. You know, Horian Gracie is your dad. Your brothers are really good at jiu-jitsu.
And he's
your family's good at jiu-jitsu.
Really good at jiu-jitsu. But it's a different level when you get to the guys. Gordon Ryan is the best dude in the world at his weight class right now without the gi on. We just had ADCC. Like, there's not a whole lot of argument to be made that there's a dude better. Who beat him in the absolute?
Felipe Preguisa.
Okay, there's one dude in the world without the gi right now that's better than Gordon Ryan.
That he's run into.
But when you're looking at competition.
And in specific rule sets, because depending on what you're doing. Because he fought Yuri Samois in EBI, and he beat him in overtime. But would he have beaten him in a no time limit match? I don't know. But that's a win either way. We're going to get to that later, too, because that's another thing that we're going to talk about. But it was a joke, honestly. Donaher
had a bet with Gordon. It was he was supposed to submit him with either the triangle or an arm lock between 10 and 12 minutes into the match. And that was different than what they said earlier, which is, I think, 15 to 18 minutes. So it gave him a two-minute window in the match, 10 minutes in to 12 minutes in, to finish the triangle and...
Or armbar. He triangled him. It was a goddamn joke, is what happened. Gordon Ryan made it look like a training session where a black belt was like, I need to warm up. Let me find a white belt just to, you know, go through my positions. If you're at your gym and you're like, I'm going to do these guard pass drills where you do those quick step arounds back and forth. He literally did that during the match.
For probably a minute or so, like literally because he's warming up.
He did whatever he wanted. I was fully expecting him to stand on him like he was surfing. Because at one point his knee was in his neck and on his stomach. It was a joke. It was a goddamn joke. We did some slight calculations with some of the numbers that we were seeing at first. This card made a little over 10 grand, assuming that the tickets that the people bought that were in there, which looked about maybe 50.
Were about 25 bucks.
Were about 25 bucks a pop.
We saw the peak viewership.
The peak viewership was almost at 500 people.
It was 481 is the biggest number that I saw during the event.
But we went off of, what was it, like 425?
Something like that.
Anyway, it was little under 9 grand for the people that paid. And then, you know, almost $1,300 for the people that were actually there. So you're looking at a little over $10,000. Who are you legitimately paying?
With 10 grand.
With 10 grand.
I'm not sure what the undercard guys made. I'm not sure what Gordon made. I'm not sure what anyone
Gordon
paid.
Probably could, I mean, again, 88 kilo, ADCC champ, runner-up, ADCC absolutes. You can ask for 10 grand.
Probably. Yeah, you're one of the best grapplers right now in the world.
So who are you, who else are you paying with?
Well, he's not paying any previous athletes.
Well, he's supposed to.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So Josh and I were a little disappointed overall with this.
It was kind of weird. It the whole thing kind of sullied the event where you sort of didn't pay attention to the beginning matches. I mean, there was good jiu-jitsu all around, but we did not. It was more so just conversing back and forth about what was going on. Maine took the under on an over-under bet of 45 minutes of the entire event, which was technically correct. So good on him for that. But
it kind of sucks because Metamoris, you know, historically has put on pretty good event.
If you
look at the matchups, look at the matchups.
At first, but then it started really shit in the bed. It all came down to, you know, a bunch of draws. They had judges one time. The judges sucked. It was a great idea. It really got stuff started, but he shit the bed by just doing dumb stuff, and he's a nutbag. It's just hard to talk about. I'm glad it happened because it's grappling, and you know, this is kind of a slow week for grappling. But I fucking hate the company. I hate him and his shitty business practices. Fuck him.
Moving on.
So now we're going on to news or things that are going on again because it's sort of a slow week for viewing of grappling unless you are at specific tournaments.
IBJJF, for example, this weekend was the Paris Open as well as the South American Championships. IBJJF is posting some of that stuff on Instagram, but it is, again, it's hard to find, it's hard to watch because IBJJF does a terrible job of posting their results and being able to watch those matches.
They're really slow with it. I mean, post-recording probably by Wednesday when we normally do a lot of the editing and it goes up around then. That stuff pops up on their YouTube page and things like that. But it's such a long wait. You can stream these right away and have these just coming out. But they don't. It's annoying. The way they post their pictures on Instagram is annoying to try to figure things out. It's not very, you know, chronological, I guess. I don't know. That's
the International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation. They're trying to be the de facto, their private organization, but they're trying to be the de facto world organization for jiu-jitsu, and we can't figure out who won what weights.
I mean, we can go on the website and look and go into the results and everything, but it's when they're posting things on social media, that's what that's for, to let people know that these things are going on.
You have
to look
on competitors' pages to find that stuff. So
right,
that
know,
happened. Jackson
digress.
Souza wins.
Wins his weight and the Open in Paris. Herberth Santos wins his weight and the Open in the South American Championships. They posted some of his matches. I haven't gotten to them yet. Both of them were 14 minutes long, so I'm assuming it went to time. Izaki Benahis. I know I'm saying the name wrong. Won the middleweight black belt in the South American from Alliance. So, again, light on the videos at first. It's annoying. I wish they would do a better job social media-wise. Some local stuff in Maryland. Beat the Streets, which is, you know, a youth project. Getting kids not on the streets. Obviously, Beat the Streets. It's run through wrestling programs, probably USA Wrestling and other things. I should probably look more into it, but I'm lazy. Helen Maroulis, gold medalist, 2016 Olympics, 2017 world champion, was in Maryland, because she's from Maryland, and was doing a seminar, which an acquaintance of ours, his kids went to that. It would have been, I wish I didn't have to work. I would have gone to it too. Hell, she can beat me up. I am a terrible wrestler. But she was in town. Jordan Burroughs was also in town earlier in the week. He was at because I'm an asshole and say a lot. He was at Morgan State University teaching a seminar as well. So that's pretty cool. More wrestling stuff. It's part of grappling. It's a good thing to watch. Good thing to train too. So that's awesome.
Other news, World Championships for Sambo were about 2 weeks ago, so BJJ Scout is starting to put some stuff on Instagram. There's some interesting leg lock highlights that have happened from there. I'm not really going to touch much on that because the Russian commentary is pretty hard to listen to.
It's always fun putting the subtitles up from YouTube and things like that, because they start making really weird conversation that makes no sense. And shout out to BJJ Scout for being a mysterious, awesome grappling person. I don't know how he breaks down the stuff or sees it. It's mind boggling. My mind is bottled. That's what it is.
Moving on into news.
We're already in news. You can't move on to news when we're still in news.
Happens.
Delete. Delete. Delete.
Gordon Ryan had a really interesting interview that came out this week. And he talked about, after ADCC, talked about actually starting to train into the gi and then moving into MMA. Basically, that he was trying to prove that he was the best no-gi grappler, then prove that he was the best gi grappler, and then move into MMA and prove that he's one of the best MMA champions. So, interesting interview. He says a lot of different stuff, talks about a lot of his training, talks about ADCC and exactly what he thought Keenan was going to do and how he ended up catching him in the guillotine. If you get a chance, watch the interview. It's really interesting. Josh, what do you think about him moving into the gi?
I think it's going to be a climb. That's a whole different monster that he's got to tackle. He hasn't really been competing in the gi since, you know, late purple, early brown.
The last time I saw him in the gi, there's a picture of him getting bow and arrow choked from the back. I saw.
He's not unbeatable, and he doesn't say that he is either. So, you know, props to him for not being, you know, a giant asshole about that. Like, nobody can beat me. And it's like, well, we can bring up video of people beating you, but, you know, he's supposedly going all in, so good for him. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'll be excited.
He's also going back and forth with Herberth Santos. Herberth started yelling, essentially, on Instagram. He used a lot of exclamation points, said anytime, anywhere, and then was like, make sure it's in these rules with this thing, and then it can also be no time limit. That's fine. So that's really interesting. We'll see if that happens, if somebody sets that up in the gi. If they do that right now, Herberth smashes. Herberth smashes 100%.
But Gordon's young. He's like, what, 23?
22.
He's 23 now, I think.
22, 23.
I think he's 23. He just turned 23, I think. I could be wrong. I think he's 23. I think they billed him at 23 in some recent event.
We should do better note-taking.
We should.
Even better than what we do now. but if they did it tomorrow or next week or whatever, Herberth wins 100%. I think Gordon really needs to start training in the gi, and I know he's got a couple of things coming up that are no-gi, so hopefully after this whole no-gi season, he gets into the gi, give him a couple of months, and then I think it'll be an awesome match.
Yeah, honestly. And you talked about in the interview as well, Danaher, going into specific series of grips and like breaking down how they've done the leg locks with the grip fighting in the gi. So this is something that the whole camp has talked about, and they seem like they're all moving into. It'll be interesting with Gary moving into MMA, because I assume that Gary is even going to be less focused than the gi, if that's possible.
I mean, he still teaches gi. Anytime you see a video of him at the gym, you'll see him teaching his students in the gi. So he's still doing it, but I think he's going to be up at TriStar a lot, training, getting ready, training with GSP, training with all those other guys that are up there. So it'll be interesting where it all goes. You know, they're going to separate a little bit. I'm pretty sure Gary will just take more gi classes at Henzo's, or no gi classes at Henzo's, and Gordon will take more gi classes. I mean, it's training. You can move around and do things. Some things translate, some things don't. But we'll see. It's going to be awesome.
Moving into the IBJJF rankings and current
standings of, you know, the top 10 of the males. Maine is a huge sexist and didn't put the top females in there.
I did.
Shame on you. Shame on you. I'm just giving him shit.
Herber Santos.
Number one right now, even though he was pushed out of number one last year in the last 3 weeks. Sitting at number one with 1,218 points, and that does not factor in what he got point-wise this weekend. I'm pretty sure Leandro Lowe doesn't really care at this point. Who's sitting at number two with 1,035 points. The points are calculated by the star ranking of each tournament, and it takes into factor other things like what you've won previously in previous years and how it all balances out. It's a strange system.
They have a big formula on their website that breaks down a little more.
Yeah.
Certain more prestigious events like Worlds have like a 7X star on them. So if you get points in those, you
EXP
get 7
is
times.
Boosted.
Yeah, other events have a 1X, certain events have a 3X.
1 star, 2 star, 5 star, things like that. So, you know, 5 times this much, or, you know, if it's 10 points and it's a 5 star event, it's 50 points.
Which... So certain events are worth a lot more, like opens, generally like the smaller opens, like DC Open, Boston Open,
one
are
star.
1X events. You win your...
Your bigger things, it's, you know, 5 star or yeah. Whatever amount it is.
So number three is Marcus...
Almeida Buchecha, who is, they haven't even broken 1,000 points yet, and I highly doubt that he will. He may do pans. I honestly doubt that he'll do pans. He'll probably just do worlds. He's moving into MMA.
He's talked about it.
So I think that's going to happen. This might be the last year to be like, I am the greatest IBJJF guy ever.
Except for Hodger.
Hodger doesn't have 11 titles. He's only a 10-time world champion, right?
He is, isn't he?
So if Hodger gets,
beat him.
Again, IBJJF. We're not going into specifics. We're not saying, hey, who's GOAT? No, just saying, I am the GOAT of IBJJF.
And he's not wrong. Honestly, he is more.
You know, if
he's
got 11 or 12 of them, it is what it is. Yeah. Carrying on, Demetrius Souza, 755. Right behind him is Joao Miao with 724. Keenan, who said he is going for number one, so he's got a lot of work to do, is at 683. So he is
half,
roughly, a little less than half.
If Herber Santos stops competing for the rest of the
Keenan's
points calendar.
Keenan's got to compete a lot then.
But he's off his injury now, and so we're starting to see him. And he showed up, was it 2 weeks ago, it's Tim Spriggs?
Yep.
So he can do it.
Possibility. Right behind him is Lucas Barbosa. Also from Atos, who is just right behind Keenan. So he's right there. Jimmy Canuto at number 8 with 472.5 points. Bruno Malfisane, 450, still in the top 10. Vitor Toledo at 448.5. That's the top 10. There are some pretty big names that are right outside of the top 10. Cobrinha is at 11 for 22. You know, Otavio Souza is 410 at 12. You've got Lucas Lepre at 13. You've got Galvao at 16. Isaki Paiva, 17. Moisinho, 365 at 18. Adam Wardzinski, who's rated number one in the UAE, is 19 with 363.5, and Carlos Farias rounds out the top 20 with 328.5. The team point standings right now, and we just did six because, you know, when you start getting into arbitrary couple hundred points when it comes to getting into 10 and plus. So Gracie Baja right now sitting up top, 1738, followed closely by Alliance with 1657. And then you take a steep jump down.
About half.
Number three with Atos at 849. Another 200 down point wise. Nova Uniao.
663.
Yeah. Same point range roughly for Checkmat at 617. And GF Team comes in with 545.
Yeah, so huge stratification at the points for teams. You know, really, it seems like it's GB versus Alliance. I'm not really certain.
Alliance has been winning the team trophy for the past couple of years. I think they got bumped out last year. I'm blanking right now. I forgot to look at that. You had the team points up there, and I should have just looked up who won it last year, but I didn't. Again, better note-taking.
Before we get into the previews here, if you like the show, please leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us out. Moving into the previews.
Again, we talked about it a little bit last week. Fight to Win Pro 56, the Muscle Farm event. They specifically singled it out. This is going to be a lot of preview stuff because, again, it was weak on grappling events this weekend.
It's Thanksgiving weekend. It's a holiday weekend.
Fuck that. You know, whatever. Oh, great. You ate stuffing that had bacon and chicken gizzards
on Thursday.
Foie gras in it on Thursday. I want people having to cut weight before events and they can't eat that. And you know what? Not everybody celebrates Thanksgiving, especially all around the world. There's other days for different Thanksgivings or whatever they want to call it. Feast day, Festivus. I don't know.
Moving on to the Muscle Farm event. The main event. Want to start on the main event or start on the bottom?
Let's start up top. I mean, it's right there anyway. Eddie Cummings from Henzo Gracie versus Jacob Sandoval from Cobrinha. I don't know how this is going to go because Eddie has been out for a little while.
What injury do you have? Was it a back or was it a leg?
I think it was a leg. Pretty sure it was a leg.
He's been out for a bit.
He keeps getting knocked out. He comes back and then he gets knocked out again, which sucks. I don't like that. He's at 155. I feel he's smaller.
I thought he was at 45 before. We've seen him get low. We've seen him compete smaller than
that.
He
was the 35 EBI champion before he
lost.
That
35 cut was real, real hard for him to get to, though. Okay. That was apparently a really hard cut for him to make. So 55 was probably... they're probably doing it day of with no cut. Again, he's been out for a while. It'll be... I mean, he's from Henzo, then Herdeswad. Those guys bring it whenever they come.
Known for the legs. Also, lesser known for the rear naked chokes. So that's what I expect from him, to try to pull guard as quickly as possible, but... I think Sandoval is going to try to get on the bottom as well. I think it's a coin flip match, honestly. I think it could go either way. I'm not going to say Eddie's going to run with it or Jacob's going to run with it. I think it's honestly a coin flip, and I think that's a gimme or that's a throwaway. It's a shitty out for me saying, oh, well, it's coin toss. It's 50-50. But I honestly think it's
there's just a lot of factors going into this matchup with, you know, how does Eddie look coming off the injury? How does he look with no weight cut? Potentially being a little smaller than Jacob. You know, it'd be a
Jacob's
matchup.
A good, solid competitor. I've watched a lot of his matches, and he's a tough guy. So I expect him to continue being a tough guy. And Eddie, again, has been off. So we'll see how it goes.
Moving on to the co-main event, the female black belt no-gi flyweight title.
That's a mouthful.
It is. We have Patty Fontes Checkmat versus Talita Alencar, who we saw a couple weeks ago on the Fight to Win card. We talked about this a little bit last week. Talita Alencar just looks fantastic recently.
She's a pusher, but I've seen her gas out a lot. Like, she goes and goes and goes, and then she gets tired, and that's when the other people... you know, catch up. And I think if she doesn't finish fast, it might not be good for her at the end. This is another one of those matches where it's a toss up. If Talita really goes in, she could finish quick, or she burns out and Patty capitalizes on it. So they're both really, really good at jiu-jitsu. I'm repeating myself.
Which is good, though. Well, honestly, that's like not the case for a lot of these grappling cards. We see some of the top people on the card as, you know, average black belts, or like the Fight to Win, just really their top of the card is good black belts and good matchups, which is honestly why we cover them so frequently, because they put out good events, they take care of their grapplers, and they have good matchups.
Yeah, and we're not going to go into speculation of a whole lot of people on these cards. I mean, we can pick out some of them, but I feel we'd be doing a disservice to some of the competitors that we don't know, some of these more local guys, or some of them. I mean, us being on the East Coast, we might not know as much about some of these West Coast guys.
And this is a West Coast event, so it's full of West Coast guys.
Exactly. Some, you know, East Coast guys, obviously. You have, you know, Henzos and things like that, but... you know, I don't want to speculate. We'll talk about that, and we'll also cover it when it actually happens next week. The other one that's really standing out at the moment is that Ricky Lull, or Lull. We'll hear it when they say it. Ricky Lull match versus Nicky Ryan, little brother of Gordon Ryan. And again, I can't speculate on Ricky. I can't recall off the top of my head what I've seen him do.
I think we've seen him on Fight to Win Pro before.
May have. I can't say 100% for sure. I know Nicky is a very game competitor. He went toe-to-toe with AJ.
Meow.
Yes and no. That meow match, I'm pretty sure he just waited until points were available and just went at it. Meow's a hard nut to crack, and Nicky went after it, but after a while, he just the way the points were set up, it wasn't good for him. And we've seen him lose to other people that, you know, some people that aren't, again, in our area of the East Coast, Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, might not know. He got footlocked by Nakapan from Beta Academy. And Nakapan's a solid competitor. Really good competitor. I've competed against him before. He's got super hard foot sweeps. It felt like a leg kick. And then he beat me up. It was awesome. So we'll see how this match goes. I'm just going to say, I'll go out on a limb and say Nicky wins by footlock.
Probably a heel hook. Ricky is actually a 10th Planet black belt that changed with Gio Martinez at the 10th Planet Freaks. He's a former wrestler, so potentially he's going to take him down. I could see him playing top in this match. So potentially look for a footlock battle, because the Freak guys like to play with the feet. I'm actually pretty excited for this one, given the rivalry that Danaher has going on with 10th Planet right now. Next match we have is a 200-pound black belt match versus Shannon Kalios.
Kalios, and I love how it's a black belt match versus Shannon Kalios, not Shannon Kalios versus Kevin Casey. Again, I don't want to go too deep into stuff. I don't know much about Shannon Kalios, so I can't say, hey, this is going to happen. Kevin Casey is good pressure jiu-jitsu, solid lineage. You know, he had some bumps along the way making stuff up, but, you know, he's good at jiu-jitsu. And I really don't want to make predictions on things that I don't have most of the information about. You know, I can see names right in front of my face where I'm like, hey, I know that guy. But I'm not going to say, oh, this person's going to win because I don't know the other guy. Because you don't know what's going to happen.
Moving on, we have another match to watch. The match before that is Marvin Castell. That's the guy that has that 17 million view Imanari roll to footlock at one of the
17 million?
It's 17 million now.
That's that Fight to Win.
Yeah, Imanari roll right into footlock. I think the video is like 15 seconds long, and it's a beautiful Imanari roll. So I'm going to be tuning in for that, because, you know, we'll say I don't know a whole lot about the person he's competing against, Brandon
Walensky.
Walensky.
Coming in with the name saves for now. Yeah.
And then we have a couple of Easton guys, some BTT guys, Jean-Jacques Machado guys. It looks like a really good card
solid,
on paper.
Solid card.
Some people from Paragon, some Street Sport Jiu-Jitsu, Komatsu. Names we see pretty
Hibero,
frequently.
Carlson Gracie, Alliance, Checkmat, all these things. So it's going to be a good card. We are going to get into it when it happens next week. But again, don't want to speculate way too much because we don't know what's happening. But what is interesting that's going on, because Fight to Win is December 1st. December 2nd in Texas is the Onnit Invitational. Guess who else is on that card? Martin Castell.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, how about that? He's doing Fight to Win in California and then going to Texas and doing, I like how I called him Martin. His name's Marvin. He's doing the Ornate Invitational. He's a 10th Planet guy. Shocker. Yeah. So he's, you know, he's doing that. But this is a pretty interesting card because it's a lot of MMA guys that are doing a grappling show for this Invitational for the guy side. We'll get into the female side, which is super interesting the way they're doing that.
There's a really interesting thing with this card. They seem to be running like a main card with a bunch of MMA guys for the most part, and then they seem to be running a whole female bracket, and we'll get into that in a second, but yeah. We're going to talk right now on the main, the main card?
The top of the card? I don't know how they're breaking this down. Maybe they're doing a few fights and then putting the female brackets in between a couple of these fights. I'm not sure.
They haven't really talked about it. We haven't really been able to find out how it's going to run, but regardless, I think it's being broadcast on Flow Grappling, so, you know.
It's on the Onnit website, actually.
Oh, this is Onnit Live,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's on Onnit. They've done these before. They've been pretty good.
Some of their commentary has been a little from time to time.
It's kind
of as with 10 Planet stuff.
The EBI type commentary.
Yep.
Danny Castillo from Team Alpha Male.
Is he still with them?
I believe so, yes. Versus Jamie Varner, former WEC lightweight champion.
Yeah.
He's got good guillotines.
They both do.
They both do. They're both decent wrestlers. So this should be interesting or super boring.
I foresee this one kind of turning into a lot of a wrestling match for the first half of the match, at least. I feel like they're gonna both get into that tie up and play the wrestling game.
It's at 175, isn't it?
I think it's at a heavier weight class, which makes sense because Castillo fights at 55, and
Varner also fought at 55.
So it would make sense that they wouldn't want to cut for this event, especially if they're both at 55. Make it at 75. Make them not cut. We know how big they are anyway. It's not like it's for a title. Let them compete. Right. Let them not cut the weight. I want to see what they look like, you know, coming in fresh, coming in good.
Doughy. That's what they look like.
Next, we have Kyle Kingsbury. Unless you have anything to add, Josh.
No.
We have Kyle Kingsbury versus Patrick Miller.
220. Kyle Kingsbury, who is, the head of optimization, I think that's what he says, because he runs the Onnit podcast now. He works for Onnit. They're going to do it. Former wrestler, former Ultimate Fighter contestant, good wrestler, decent wrestler. I don't know, not great, not high, super high level, but he's a good wrestler.
So
I don't know who Pat Miller is. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to make this up.
Next, we have Michael Chiesa versus Dave Rickles.
I'm surprised you said Chiesa properly.
I know his fighters. It's MMA fighters. I know MMA fighters' names.
Chiesa's coming off of that loss
to
where
Lee.
To Lee, where he didn't tap and he wasn't out.
I have my own thoughts on that. That's, I think, if we're going to touch
you
on
don't,
that real quick.
You don't defend a rear naked choke by not doing anything.
You're not going to flex and bust out of a rear naked choke. His hands start to drop, which is exactly what happens as you go unconscious and you get stopped. I just think that's, you know, although technically per the rules, you shouldn't stop it, I think that's, you stopped intelligently defending yourself. There's absolutely not a single rear naked choke defense you do when the guy's arm is under your neck where you let your hands drop to your waist. Doesn't exist.
A special yoga move where you move your carotid arteries. I'm not serious about that. Dave Caveman Rickles. It'll be a good fight. I think Chiesa's wrestling / jiu-jitsu is a little bit better than Rickles, but it'll be a cool... It will be a cool match.
Yeah, Chiesa has some really highlight reel finishes in the UFC. I think a couple of Darce chokes, guillotine chokes, rear naked chokes.
Rickles hits things and they fall down. That's good. He's also got some good guillotines. And
so I'm actually kind of excited for this matchup just because I'm a big fan of... I haven't seen a lot of Chiesa's grappling outside of MMA, so I want to see what it looks like in straight grappling. I know
where
he's a solid wrestler.
Where he's not punching, guys?
Where he's not punching. Because he does do a lot of his setups off of, you know, the ground and pound and the punches. So it'll be interesting to see how his setups look in this matchup where you can't punch the guy. Next, back to... we're talking about Marvin Castell. Give me the name,
Castell.
Josh. Castell versus Dennis Dombro.
Dombro. Close enough. Whatever. It will be interesting to see how Marvin recuperates from the night previous. coming into this match.
Because he's on top of the card, so he's going to be going probably into the evening. And honestly, the flight is only about 2 hours, 2-3 hours from L.A. to Austin. I think it's a two-hour flight. So it's
not
terrible.
Super well-traveled because I suck. But I don't know exactly the time travel, but it'll be interesting. And again, don't know about Dombro. So I hate not knowing about these people and not, you know, we only have so many hours in a day to start, you know, looking at people. But we're going to move past that. It'll be an interesting setup. What I think is really cool is they are doing a bunch of weight classes for the ladies. And it's going in 10-pound increments. So you've got 115. And these are only four women brackets. So it's not like a huge thing. So we're just trying to really quickly crown the 115, 125, 135, 145, 155, 155 plus champs.
There's some interesting stuff about this. There's a lot of competitors. We actually only got this card, I think, a couple days ago that I came across it. So we have not done a whole lot of research into a lot of these women. We're excited. We're going to watch it. We'll break it down after the fact. But going into this, I don't know many of these women. I don't recognize many of these women either. In the 135 bracket, there's something interesting. Rachel, my girlfriend, competed against one of the women a couple months ago, Catherine Adams, in a local blue belt tournament. So I'm not sure. I assume the level of these women is somewhat...
anywhere from... I mean, there can be huge skill gaps in some of these women divisions. Some of these... it benefits them when they train with guys, and then you compete against women. But I think it's also detrimental that they don't have enough women to train with. So I feel that they can accelerate through the belts a little bit faster, or it holds them back more. It really all depends, but you'll see some people that just run through the belts and then they're still monster black belts. Or, you know, you have your Mackenzie Dearns where your dad holds you back forever and makes you win all these things before becoming a black belt and being a monster. So it'll be interesting when we do a little bit more research and figuring out all of these, where the these ladies levels. Train, their belt levels. Oh, look at that name that I'm not going to be able to pronounce when we talk about it. Natalia De Jesus. I screwed it up. I know I did.
What I like about this event is, A, they're showcasing women. They're doing a card that is 15 pound. It's 115.
10 pound. 115, 125, 135, 145, 155, and 156 plus. So anybody...
which is 80% plus of your women's divisions. It's going down to 115, realistically, you start to have a drop-off. You have MMA at atom weight, but a lot of those women walk around at 115, so you don't have a ton of competitors that I've seen below the 115 bar. So I'm pretty happy with their weight classes here. You know, you have a...
it's not a huge bracket. I guess it might be a time thing, but it's just cool seeing a big focus on the ladies. As you'll hear, we're pretty big proponents of women's jiu-jitsu. We think it's awesome. We like when women train and compete. It's not, you know, a big old sausage party. It's jiu-jitsu's for everybody. We talked about it with the para-jiu-jitsu part of the UAE jiu-jitsu scene. You know, females, again, I'm really big proponent of them being equally paid. So hopefully there's a good payout too for these ladies for winning these belts or, you know, being crowned
champion
of this weight class for on it. So I'm looking forward to that. Going on to December 3rd, two things going on that day. At least two things. Sug 3,
Sug Kale. 6.
Sug 6, Sug 3. I'm looking at December 3rd and Sug 6 at the same time.
Submission Underground,
Chael Sonnen, his card. Again, we talked about it last week. Really looking forward to the Gilbert Burns-Jake Shields match. Jake Shields is, when you take him out of the MMA, his grappling is really good.
And we've seen that. We've seen him on Fight to Win. We've seen him on... He does grappling events, you know.
We've
not
seen him on
frequently.
Submission Underground, where he went against Dylan Danis, but I don't particularly care for him. So, you know, Burns versus Shields. Burns world champion. Jake Shields, still a really good jiu-jitsu player. It'll be an interesting match. You have Fabiano Scherner versus Tim Sylvia.
I'm actually really excited for this match.
I'm not at all. You have a really fat, hairy dude versus an in-shape, hairy dude. I don't know why Tim Sylvia is doing this. It doesn't make sense to me. None at all. And again, I don't doubt that Tim Sylvia is going to tower over the cage, but he'll cover up one entire panel of the cage as well because he's so goddamn fat. If he is not almost 400 pounds, I'll be surprised.
We'll see. Then we have AJ, I can't say his last name.
Agazarm
versus Nathan Orchard. We talked about this last week. We're not going to talk about it again. Yeah. If you actually want to hear that, listen to last week's episode. It's pretty entertaining. Then we have David Mitchell versus Anthony Smith.
Still haven't done our research yet.
Wagner Hosa versus Jesse Taylor. So that was December 3rd. Now moving on to the EBI Absolutes.
So again, we haven't gotten the entire card yet. There are 13 of the 16 competitors.
So we're still missing three guys at this point.
Yep. So you've got Rustem Chiziev, Gordon Ryan, the champ, Craig Jones, Jessere Childre. That's a pretty interesting name. ADCC and SUG veteran. Casey Hellenberg, Gibson Sa, Andrew Kimmler, Daniel O'Brien. You've got a bunch of past EBI competitors on this card. Karen Darabedian, Patrick Donabedian. That's right, spelled differently. Two different names, very close together. Travis Moore, Marcel Gunkovis. There we go. Adam Sacknoff, Dan Borovic. I think like 10 of those dudes have been on EBI, so we're just waiting for them to fill in.
Give us the last three names, and then give us the brackets so we can actually talk about them, because there's so many theoretical matchups here. Guys are end up on the other side of the bracket that are probably not going to meet each other, so we'll talk about that once the brackets get released. It's honestly, there's some names here.
There's names. It's going to be interesting. Gibson has been on there. He did well. Daniel O'Brien did well. Adam Sacknoff.
You think we'll see Dee Jackson again?
Maybe, maybe not. I'm not 100% sure.
Remember him versus Chiziev last time that was hilarious to watch, because Jackson's bout walks around at 185. Chiziev walks around at gigantic.
Maybe almost 200 pounds. Maybe a little bit less. He was in the 88-kilo division as well. So maybe around there. Borovic was in there again. O'Brien was in there. It's going to be a fun card. So we'll see who else is popping up in it. And probably Friday is when the brackets will be out and we can speculate a little bit more. And then they're throwing in on the Instagram, it was celebrating Women's Week.
Which is part of the thing why Onnit is doing it as well. They're doing a Women's Week thing. I don't know if it's grappling or if it's, I don't know exactly what's going on. International Women's Day. Week.
I thought that was earlier in the year was the International Women's Day.
I don't know.
Day.
Rachel yelled at me like 2 days ago. I didn't know why. So maybe.
Because she hates you.
Maybe. We have Priscilla
Herrera.
Versus Lauren
Heyman.
I'm going to go with Heyman.
You were going to say something and I was going to call you an idiot.
So that's, it's packed. I mean, December 1st, December 2nd, December 3rd.
That's a lot of grappling cards in a weekend. Skipping ahead another week to December 9th. You have the Kasai. I kept calling it Kaisei, and I got this weird Polish website popping up when I was looking it up. December 9th, the website is super fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
It is good. They paid somebody to do that website, and they did a fantastic job.
I love the website because you can go to it. You can click on all the guys, their names up there. It links to either their BJJ Heroes page or to a write-up that they've done on the... Would you say... You don't say Kaisei. Would you pronounce it as?
The way it's spelled, K-A-S-A-I.
Kasai?
Kasai.
The
so
Kasai.
Until somebody says it, we're going to go with Kasai. And they might say Kaisei still. So that might be it. But Kasai, this is a new thing out of New York.
And it's great because, A, we're a couple weeks out. They have all their competitors listed with their matches. And they have a write-up on all the guys so you can figure out who's on the event. And it's not 3 days away, which is a really common thing for most of these grappling events.
Beautiful. Beautiful you know, hats off to the website guy, hats off to the promoters of Kasai for going, we probably need a good website. Let's do that. So the big match is Gordon Ryan versus Yuri Samois. Open weight bout. You know, I'm pretty sure they're close in weight anyway. Gordon is enormous.
He's a big boy.
He's a big dude.
He's gotten bigger.
And he's on a run. He did something today. He's doing something next week. And then the following week. So he's getting all that no-gi in now before...
do we know if he's in Worlds? If he registered for Worlds, I assume not. But I'm not certain.
He doesn't do a lot of...
He does not.
I don't know if he's hit the time requirement technically to be a black belt competitor.
Oh, interesting. Because
he did get promoted fairly quickly from purple brown to black. So yeah. He might not be...
Which I think is just dumb. It's like you have a guy that's winning. It's a world-class guy that we're going to go, oh, he hasn't been a black belt.
They're going to follow their own rules.
I just think it's dumb.
Yeah, you don't like paying $35 to register your purple belt, which they're doing now. Which has been in the can for a while that they were going to do that. But now it's official, and Maine doesn't want to pay $35 because he's cheap, and he doesn't want to take a picture of himself looking like a creep. Or, you know, if you saw my IBJJF card, look like a fat bastard. My cheeks barely fit in the frame.
But you got to register. I just think it's unnecessary. Like, there's absolutely no need for you to have to go and register to be a competitor at an event. There's every other organization.
Helps them keep track.
No. It helps them get money. There's a
difference. Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, you know.
There's no need for it. I think it's bullshit.
At this point, we can hate the player and not the game.
Yeah. It keeps guys like Gordon out. And I would love to see him see what he can do versus those.
He'll jump in. He's done IBJJF stuff before. He'll jump in. And maybe he's already in that time frame. Once we get, again, another week past this, we'll get more into the worlds. We'll go through a whole list of who's competing.
Yeah, because that registration's closed now.
Yeah, so that's closed. So everybody that's in it is going to be in it. So the tournament is another big thing that's pulling in. It's a 155 tournament. It's got names that you should know. Gary Tonin, who I believe will be the favorite. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. That
I'd agree with that.
He is the favorite to win the tournament. You have Munchie, Mansur Kara from Mars. No, he's
no,
Unity
he's not
now.
From ourselves now.
Not, he's not
he's Unity, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Unity now. If you missed that whole debacle, we're not going to touch on it.
No.
Yeah, kicked out of Marcelo's. He's at another place now.
Yeah, it's
we
silly.
Have Gianni Grippo.
From Marcelo's. Celso Vinicius, last I remember, he represents somebody else, but he used to represent Hein Gracie. That was his teacher. He's probably under Henzo or something affiliated, some Gracie thing. He's definitely the oldest guy in the tournament, but he's a super game competitor, so that'll be interesting. You might consider him the dark horse of the tournament.
Yeah, between him and...
Maybe between him and Enrico Coco, who is always around in a lot of tournaments and does fairly well. So I'm going to say Celso is the dark horse. You've got AJ Agazarm, the unpronounceable last name to Maine.
Can't do it.
Then you have Edwin Juni Ocasio, who is originally from Stroudsburg, PA, you know, right around the corner from us. He trains at Unity now, so... He's got Munch to train with. He's got Bones. He's got the Meows. He's got Marilla Santana. He's got a good camp.
Yeah, and he actually ended up subbing three. They had some sort of...
they had a big qualifier for it.
And he subbed three black belts to get into it. And he's a purple belt. So he's got it. He can perform and show up. So he's... I like that they're not doing what EBI does and throwing a bunch of no-name guys on there. They're throwing a bunch of big guys. And you have one guy of your eight-man bracket. It's an unknown guy.
Don't talk badly about no-name guys after you send me the link to sign up for EBI. I'm going to sign up for that, and I'm going to be that no-name guy that writes some ridiculous shit in the tell us about yourself section. So
there's a place for it. I think that you're the one guy. Okay, you have one guy per event. You don't fill your premier event with four or eight, you know, guys out of a 16-man bracket. That's like, okay, I have no idea who these
local guys
are. Sometimes
you got to build it up, and that's how you build your name. That's what a lot of people didn't know who Nathan Orchard was before he was being thrown on this. you know, on the EBI cards. So it's good and it's bad. Almost left out Hanato Kanuto from that. He rounds out the eight-man tournament. The undercard is filled mostly with a bunch of guys that are roughly around 155 pounds that are locals. A lot of Renzo Gracie guys, Matt Serra guys, Marcelo Garcia guys.
The tournament is being hosted in New York.
Yeah. So, we're going to use East Coast, New York type guys.
But one thing I like they're doing is, I think why they're filling it with so many 55 guys is that if someone drops out of one of the main event slots, they can move one of these guys up so they'll be tournament ready. They're not going to be replacing day of with some guy that wasn't on the card previously, which I like tournaments doing. You know, they have the option to replace guys with guys that are already on the card.
True. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. I don't think anybody's going to drop. We're not too far out. And hopefully they're training smart.
Yeah. So that'll be on December 9th. So that's the week after the marathon week we're going to have the previous week. Mm-hmm. And again, as this gets closer, we will touch on it a little more. But we just want to shout it out because it's going to be broadcast on Flow. And it looks like an exciting event.
Very exciting. Also, notice that Jared Weiner is on this card. Love that dude. He's super awesome. Great instructor out of Philly, BJJ United. Super cool dude.
So we'll be breaking that down next week, probably.
Yeah. Wrapping this whole shebang up, we're getting back into sumo. Today was the last day. The tournament ended. So we can talk about that a little bit. We can talk about, you know, stuff moving around, people going up and down. We can talk a little bit more about the quote-unquote scandal that's going on. Hakuho wins again. Monster, goat, sumo wrestler. He won, actually, on day 14. He nabbed the Yusho. He missed 25 days this year. He missed an entire tournament and then a couple of days throughout the year, but still has the most wins to date for this year. So, yeah.
How do you think he looked in his matches?
Monstrous. And he only lost one match, and it was super funny because he thought there was a mata, which is, you know, stop the match, hold on, time out, and got pushed out and then stood outside of the ring for what seemed like an eternity, holding his hand up saying, where are we getting this mata? And nobody was feeling it.
It was interesting. He stayed out for a long time, and it was interesting. That was on day 11. That was a couple days before the end of the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, he stood there. He was very confused why they weren't agreeing with him. It was amusing. People on Reddit and SureDog were talking about it. Like, hey, anybody agree with me? No, I'm going to stand here and make it uncomfortable. So he did for a while, and then he accepted it. But on day 14, he crushed Endo with an elbow during the Tai Chi Ai, which is the initial charge. That is legal. You can't punch people, but if you throw up that arm a little bit during your initial charge, it's a great move.
Yeah. In sumo, you can do strikes. There are strikes that are...
Palm strikes.
Palm strikes are legal, like, in sumo.
You can't punch a guy. You can't, you know, try to super kick him. You can leg sweep and stuff, but you're not getting a straight up front kick from these guys. They don't want to lift their legs off the ground anyway during the match, because there's a chance that you're going to get thrown off. So, you know, major fouls really are punching, kicking, and hair pulling, and the punching and kicking don't really get called anymore. So mainly the hair pulling is the big thing that they go on. Also, if we're talking about throwing bows, down in Juryo, the only Egyptian Rikishi, Osunarashi, the Sandstorm, smashed Tarugisho with an elbow. He pretty much knocked him out. He straight up TKO'd him. He wailed on him with an elbow. Other dude, it's a monster of a name that I'm not going to try to butcher, got wobbled, pushed out, and then Osunarashi caught him so he wouldn't just fall out of the ring. He was definitely wobbled for a while. Cool match. That was down in Juryo hopefully we'll be seeing Osunarashi back and Makuuchi sooner rather than later. Going on to the Sancho, which are special prizes that you win, you know, the fighting spirit, outstanding performance, technique award. The fighting spirit, the Kanto Show award, was given to Okunomi and Amanishiki. Amanishiki is the oldest dude in the top division. He's 39 years old. You are not really in sumo that long, and he is still plugging away. And he got his Kachikoshi, which is winning record, on the last day, going 8-7, and won the Fighting Spirit Award. Okunomi also got it. He was baller today. Just moving and grooving. Got that taken care of. The Shuken Show, outstanding performance, goes to Takakesho, who, again, these guys were killing it this Basho. Just straight up killing it. So I'm pretty sure they're going to be moving up. Takakesho, if I'm not mistaken, was 11-4. Yep, at Maegashira 1. So he's probably going into Sanyaku, the upper three. There's an open Sekiwake spot. He might go to Komasubi. Kotu Shogiku is definitely going down.
I love how we can get all these Japanese names, but we struggle with all of the Portuguese, Hispanic, and American names. Bad.
That's because I'm a weeb. That's what it is.
It's just hilarious to listen to you move through these sumo names, but us butcher the other names.
Yeah, it's probably from years and years and years of watching anime. So, yeah, my dork is coming out.
So you say there's an open spot. What exactly do you mean? Like a guy dropped out? How does that work?
There is no Sekiwake on. There's three of them currently. You can have a few of them. You can have a couple of Komasubis. But right now there's an open spot that could be filled. There's also people that bump out of it and people that go up and down and things like that. Last prize, the Ginsho, the technique, goes to Hokuto Fuji. Again, he was on point, 11-4. I'm looking at the Banzuke right now, and it is not. Yep, 11-4 at Maegashira 3. If he doesn't go into Sanyaku, he will definitely be at Maegashira 1 next tournament. So they get prizes and money and cool little things that they give them for those. Let's break down this Banzuke really quick, starting at the top, giving a little bit of records, a little breakdown of things, and where we think people are going to go, up, down, out of the top division, so on and so forth. So we'll start on the east side.
So how exactly do the changes in the rankings happen?
Goes off of wins and losses. If you have a shitty record, you move down or you get demoted to lower divisions. If you have a winning record, you might stay the same or go up a little bit. Depends on your performance. And the Sumo Association decides all of that.
So it's actually based on the rankings and records as opposed
performance,
to
yeah.
arbitrary things that
yeah,
people
it's all
decide
performance.
And assign. Outstanding.
Like what have you done for me now? That's how sumo works. So starting on the east side, Yokozuna, one of those guys. Harama Fuji, who was embroiled in scandal, which is less scandalous now. Takano Hana, former Yokozuna and stable master, stirred up a lot of shit, and the Sumo Association is not happy with him. He made the story seem a whole lot worse than it actually was, but there's no development yet, so I'm not going to speculate. I think Harama Fuji will still be a Yokozuna when this is all said and done. His final record, because he drew out after day three, was 0-3-12. So he missed 12 days of the tournament and lost three. Jumping over to the west side, you've got Hakuho, who got the Yusho, 14-1. One away from Zen Yusho, which is, you know, perfect record. 15-0. Questionable loss, but whatever. I'm not going to complain about it. He's a beast. He's up. I think you can arguably say he's the greatest Yokozuna ever. He's almost got the most wins. He's got the most Yushos, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't see him slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, how old are you? Any idea?
Early 30s.
Yeah, so he's got a little bit of time left.
He's got some time left. He will retire when he feels like retiring. Going back to the east side, another Yokozuna, the Japanese one, Kisei no Sato, finished up his Basho with a 4-6-5 record. He was injured. As much as I don't like him as a sumo wrestler, he did not look like himself.
Which is why I pulled out.
He pulled out eventually. It was that was a thing during this entire Basho. A lot of people went Kyujo, which they dropped out due to injury.
Do you have any idea why, particularly this tournament, or it's the longest ever.
Yes,
on this podcast.
Yes, he was injured in his first Basho as a Yokozuna, rib injury, and he hasn't fully healed from it yet. And these tournaments are every other month, and these guys don't like taking time off, and especially because he's Japanese and wants to show, you know, powerful Japanese people. He doesn't want to take time off. He really needs to heal up because he has strong sumo. He just looks like garbage right now because he's hurt, and that's a bummer. So yeah, hopefully he comes back stronger or sits out the rest of next tournament, because he has the ability to do that as Yokozuna. You can only retire after that. Jumping back to the west side, the fourth Yokozuna, technically, Kakuryu, he didn't compete at all. And he hasn't really been competing that much at all this year. I don't know why he's a Yokozuna. I think they're going to try to force him to retire, especially if he does poor or pulls out in February.
Any idea why he's pulled out this tournament? Injured or just...
It's always injury. And the past few times that he has competed, he just looked like hell. And as soon as he started looking like hell, he would drop from the tournament because of injury. I don't know if it's a legitimate injury or not, but he just looks like shit. He's done. If he comes back, I say he gets smashed, and that's that.
You think he's just old?
No, I just don't think he's Yokozuna material. I mean, he got there, but I don't think he was there. So, step below Yokozuna is Ozeki. Right now, we only have two. And on the east side, we have Goedo, who did not look great this Basho, but got his Kachikoshi and...
winning record.
Yep. Went 9-6. He looked very mediocre, which has been his thing. Sometimes he looks great, and sometimes he looks like garbage. That's his shtick. I wish he would, pick one, figure out where he wanted to be. Going to the west side, you have Takayasu, who is a stablemate of Kisei no Sato. Got his Kachikoshi, got the winning record of 8-5, and then dropped right afterwards, which saved his Ozeki rank, because he was close to losing it. Jumping down again, we're in Sekiwake now, still in the Sonyaku. We have Mitai Kumi, 9-6, nothing super impressive. The west side, Yoshikaze gets a Makikoshi, losing record, 6-9. He is either going to go down to Komisubi or he'll be top 5 Maegashira.
Any idea which one? Can you speculate?
No, there's so much movement, and the sumo association is really weird, and some of it's arbitrary. Former Ozeki and now Sekiwake, Terunofuji went 0-5-10. He pulled out after day 5. He's been injured forever, lost his Ozeki rank, will probably be down in Maegashira when he comes back. When he's healthy, he's a beast, but he's been injured and will not heal up because he doesn't want to keep dropping down the ranks. Final Komisubi ranking, you've got Kotoshu Giku, which 3 tournaments ago was Ozeki, lost it, and has looked like shit ever since. He'll be down middle of the pack, my Gashira. New Komisubi Onusho, or maybe not. I'm slacking and I'm getting tired. Got his Kachikoshi on the last day. You know, he should move up or stay Komisubi. I don't know. He showed a lot of heart, a lot of fighting spirit. So it'll be interesting. Both Tamawashi and Takakesho, who are Maegashira 1, I think are going to bump up. They will probably be in the Sanyako ranking. Both finished with a 11-4 record.
So had a good Basha.
Both of them had a great one. They were in the Yusho race for quite a while until they started taking a couple more L's. So it'll be interesting to see where they get placed this next Basho. We've got, you know, 2 months roughly. Going down, Maegashira 2, Chiyotairu, Kachikoshi 7-8. Could have done better, could have pushed and switched that around and ended up 8-7. He'll get bumped down. Tochi Ozan, garb, pure garb, 4-11. He's going way down. Pure garbage. Shohozan, same thing at Maegashira 3. 3-12. I mean, if guys weren't pulling out, they were getting terrible records. And you can't win them all, but still.
3-12 is having not a bad good. Tournament.
Not good point. At all. Winner of a prize, Hokuto Fuji. Maegashira 3, probably jumping up either to the top of Maegashira or he might break into Sanyaku. Don't know. Do not know. Another person that's hit or miss all the time, Maegashira 4, Chiyo no Kuni. Main spelled his name wrong in the notes that we're looking at right now. You want to talk about the match that you saw from him, though?
No, it was good. I mean, I watched a little bit of sumo, and I'm starting to get into it. Saw a match. It was an exciting match on day 11. I forget actually who he was going against on day 11. Do you remember, Josh?
No. I mean, I could bring it up in a couple of seconds, but...
But he came out hard, and he did a technique. Josh, can you show the technique where he comes out with his hands, and it's one hand,
Supari?
One hand.
Supari. The slapping technique?
Came out, and he slapped the shit out of the guy that he was going against.
Of course, if, you know, you played fighting games, you'd think E. Honda doing that super slap move.
Yeah, something like that. But it was an exciting match that I saw. And so he had a good tournament?
No, he didn't. He had a good tournament. Maegashira 4, Ichinojo, my least favorite sumo wrestler. I hate that guy. He's just big and fat and lazy. He had potential, but fuck him. He ended with 10-5. That's all I have to say about him. Fuck him.
Any particular reason, Josh?
He's just a twat. He came out strong, beat a lot of guys early, but then... He's two different people. On some tournaments, he's great. Some, he's awful. Fuck him. He just makes me angry. Maegashira 5, Takara Fuji, finishes 7-8. He was middle of the pack, didn't look great. Adawashi, 8-7. Again, a lot of these guys that are getting these, you know, barely winning or barely losing, they were just middle of the pack, not looking super awesome. Going down to 6, Chiyoshima. I really want you to say all these names and just
not
giggle.
Gonna happen, Josh.
7-8 again. Tochi Ozan.
The worst part is the names are phonetic. Like Japanese, when they're written out, the names
for
are
for the
phonetic.
Most part.
You should be
sometimes
able to read
you
them.
Get two letters together and you're like, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, but I butcher easy names enough. We don't need to move me to Japanese names where it's going to get bad.
Tochi Noshin, who is one of the Eastern Bloc wrestlers. He's white. 9-6. Looked pretty good. Daishomaru, 4-11, dropping down low. Shodai, barely getting a winning record. Middle of the pack again. Takanoiwa at Maegashira 8. Went Kyujo at the beginning because he, you know, supposedly got hit with a beer bottle in the head.
Allegedly.
It just makes him look bad. That's not the story now.
Definitely got hit with the karaoke remote, though.
Yeah, it is what it is. Chiyomaru, 7-8. Endo, former Japanese hope, middle of the pack again, dealing with injuries. 9-6. Looked strong, but again, got obliterated on day 14 by Hakuho. Daisho looks like shit. 5-10. It shows. Kaisei, Brazilian. There's a Kaisei A and a Kaisei B. Kaisei A is a beast. Kaisei B sucks. And it's funny when you can see the days. But he got his Kachikoshi. 8-7. He'll probably stay roughly around Maegashira 10. Maybe move up a little bit. Ikioi, 9-6. Again, not moving around too much. Aoyama, another Russian or Bulgarian. I'm blanking right now. Was actually injured for the beginning of the tournament, but still came back. But he's probably dropping all the way down to Judo. He was at Maegashira 11, but 3-8 and 4, not great. Asanoyama, 5-10. Again, guys looking like shit this entire Basho. It sucked. A lot of people going out, getting out. It was meh. It was meh. It's fun, but it was meh. Oginomi, again, talked about him earlier. He really wants to, you know, put in these good performances. So he's going to jump up in the rankings again. Kagayaki, 7-8. Terrible, terrible, terrible. These guys are shitting the bed. It makes me mad when the guys look bad that I'm like, yeah, good for you. And then they shit the bed. Moving on to Maegashira 13. We're going on the west side. Like I said before, Aminishiki, oldest Rikishi in the Basho. He wants to face Hakuho again. That was something that he said. So he's got to move up. He got the Fighting Spirit Award. So that'll help bump him up. Maybe he'll be able to go against Hakuho again before he retires.
You think he will or not?
He could. Puts in some good performances and he could.
A couple Bashos?
One, maybe two. If you're up there higher, you will get to him sooner and you'll get to compete against him. So we'll see. Takekaze, 7-8. Looking like garb again. Koto Yuki, that chubby little teddy bear. I don't know why. He's just so cute and round and it makes me like him. 8-7. Snuck it in there. Daimami. Like Edamame, but not as good. 6-9, dropping down to Jurdio. Definitely happening. Nishikigi. Again, probably dropping down. 7-8. Not looking too good. Miyogiru, 6-8-1. Dropping down to Jurdio. Ura, which is one of those guys that I enjoy, was not in the tournament at all because he was injured. He's probably getting surgery, so he will be back in February, hopefully, but he'll be in Judo. And that ends the Banzuke. So there's all that. I can answer some questions if you want me to talk about them, technique stuff.
Email us at grapplingrewind@gmail.com.
Boom. Hit us up on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, something. I can answer some of these questions and not be a complete idiot. Or you could Google it. It's really easy to find. That ends this week's podcast. Again, going through, we told you what we were going over this week. And we told you what we were going over next week. So there's a lot of grappling to look forward to next week. Hope to see you tune in then. You can catch me on Instagram at chops_and_chokes. You can catch us at Grappling Rewind. That's on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Anything else? And YouTube. And
YouTube.
50 billion other things that were, you know, eventually Snapchat and other things like that.
Catch us anywhere you catch podcasts or people you follow, because we're most likely on there and we're most likely posting and watching these grappling events, so you don't necessarily have to watch them all, i.e. Metamorphs.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to waste $20 on it. And you can always email us at grapplingrewind@gmail.com. Until then, keep training, have fun, and we'll see you later.
I've been Maine, and this is Josh.
Deuce.